您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com 点击 Roundtable。 Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。
The finale episode of the hottest TV drama in China has been aired on TV last night. Yeah, you're right. We are talking about Nirvana on Fire, or Long Yabang. Millions of people either rushed home for the 7:35 p.m. live TV viewing, or stayed up till midnight for the episode updates on the internet. Are you one of us? Why is Long Yabang so popular? 一卷风云琅琊榜，芒尽天才能尽天下英奇才。 It's obvious my English is better than my Chinese. 一部电视剧《琅琊榜》包揽了上亿观众每晚的荧屏时光，他们夜夜守候，只为等待每日零点的两集更新。刚刚上演的大结局《琅琊榜》，你追了吗？为什么这部电视剧如此火爆？ First of all, we have to talk about it. What is this TV drama? And we'll talk about why a bit later.
Well, I think the name comes from because it's this guy who wants to get revenge on his foe by beating him down with a wolf tooth club, right? Bang ya bang, right? No one got that joke? That's a terrible joke, excuse me.
Well, there you go. You broadened my knowledge in Chinese, I think. Yeah, it's sort of synonymous to that as well.
Actually, that's my first impression when I first heard the name. I didn't see the characters. That's exactly my thought. And then I saw the characters. I was like, oh, so it's a different story.
All right. Okay, so I'm surprised with Brian's knowledge in Chinese. And I'm surprised that Liu Yan, you don't seem to have really caught up this tide, so to speak, because Liu Yan is always on top of things.
Well, thank you very much. I'm a little surprised myself, because as far as I can tell, this should be my cup of tea, because I love revenge stories, a huge fan of the Kill Bill series. So in theory, this should be very interesting to me, but somehow I seem to be occupied by other stuff, so.
All right, so he's a busy man. And for those of us who are as busy, but how do we make time to watch a 54 episode?
55?
Oh, yeah, 54, actually.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
Well,
That is me.
I was going to say, I think some of us have found the time by kind of eking it out of the late night hours when other people would normally be asleep.
Yes, what I did was basically, I was busy, had a bunch of things to do, and finally got home, got myself a nice bath, and it was 11 p.m. already. What did I do? I got my iPad out and start watching until 3:30 up in, well, you know, after midnight, and I was, like, really scared that my dad would caught me doing it when he's having his bathroom
break
in the night. So that's how hooked up I was to it. And I'm really surprised with myself, because I don't usually watch domestically made TV shows. And when you turn on the TV these days, there's just not that many things that interest me. But why is this one so special that got everybody talking?
Well, that's the thing, I think. Like you just said, I think part of it is people have been kind of starved for, like, really good quality sort of Chinese mainland programming here. Like, we talk about the ratings. Like, if you go to douban.com, that, you know, very famous website, it's rated 9.3, which is the same rating as the really famous adaptation of The Monkey King in the 1980s, which, you know, that's seen as, like, the pinnacle of Chinese TV. And most TV shows here don't get anywhere near that. So it's like, oh, my gosh, this is a really good show. Everybody watched it. It's kind of like, I think, in a way, The Monkey King, they had that animated version of it that came out a month or two ago, and it was pretty good. It wasn't necessarily exceptional on its own, but it was like, oh, my gosh, it's a good animated Chinese movie, and then people just flocked to it.
And also, as far as I can tell, this TV series has great production values, because I asked around, and all the people in my office who have watched it all say the same thing, like, the production is just unbelievable, and everything is so intricate, and everything is so accurate. For example, the etiquette during that period, or the clothes they wear, it's all, like, right down to the T. Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And actually, this TV series was not set in a particular ancient historical period, but what it's managed to do so amazingly is making that point clear, but also reconstructing the scenes from history. That is what you sort of feel from it. And then you don't feel that this is weird. There's something artificial to it. There's nothing of such from it. So I think that's really quite an achievement. Actually, we've got a lot of messages coming in. Our listener,
hot topic.
Yeah, Linda Pan says that she's followed the TV series and spent golden time every night watching it. Really enjoyed it. And Xia Tian and Jiang Zuomeng, Yu Yong Daifu, these two guys say, yeah, we really enjoyed it too, and we can't wait to hear more on Roundtable about what's going on. And by the internet name Jiang Zuomeng, Yu Yong Daifu, this person must be a hardcore
yeah.
fan. Yeah, and I have to say, when it comes to the highlights of this drama, the actors are really great. And for someone who's born after 1985, I think for our generation, playing computer games, it was like, we were kind of the first people to do it in modern China, I suppose. And there was this show called Xian Jian Qi Xia Zhuan, which had this amazing protagonist, you know, debuting on the show. And that was 10 years ago. And his name is Hu Ge. And he went through a terrible accident. And I don't know how someone can overcome that. He pretty much had his half of his face destroyed and then reconstructed. And he, after 10 years' time, is the protagonist of this show. And then you can tell how much he's grown. And I'm not a fan, but I admire a story like that. And then you see how his acting skills has improved. And it's not just about the face anymore. As we've talked about so many times on this show, lookism is something that is prevalent in our society today. But with this show, not only Hu Ge, there's what's the actor's name of Xiao Jingyan? Wang Kai.
Wang Kai,
yes.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of the other supporting actors. I think they're not just good looking. They're also super actors. And that's really something quite promising to see, because when you look at TV these days, there's too many empty vases, okay? what's the
no,
take on
no,
that
for
yet?
Sure. I mean, I'm not a fan of Chinese TV shows, but it seems like a lot of them is just like, oh, we'll get either this famous person or this person looks good, and rather than trying to do like a good job, it's like, okay, we'll kind of throw this stuff together and put it out there because some people are going to watch it, you know, that'll be good enough. And for a lot of people, it's, you know, that's okay for them. But this, what I think they try to do is they really tried to do a good job. Obviously, some interesting source material, and then they've got, like you said, actors who are all professional actors, many of whom look good, but that's not primarily their things. Like, they're actual professional actors.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went into a lot of detail, a lot of time and effort and money, of course, into making it very good. Like, the scenes were good, the sets were good, the special effects, unlike a lot of other ones where it's just like, okay, we'll kind of throw something in there and it achieves the effect, but it doesn't really look that good. They actually did it so that, I mean, I only watched a little bit of it, but I wasn't sure, you know, if I was looking at special effects or if this was just like a really well-designed set. I'm still not sure.
I have to say, He Yang, you have done a fantastic job. You should be the spokesperson for this series. Because by listening to what you just said, I'm totally sold. Because I'm one of those people who just enjoys those backstories tremendously. So when you mention how Hu Ge transformed from someone whose basically face was destroyed to the current Hu Ge, who is once again playing the leading role and in such an inspirational manner, I think just based on that alone, I'm very tempted to start watching from episode one. And also another reason when I started noticing this TV series was the actor you also mentioned, Wang Kai. Obviously, he's a very good-looking guy, and then I do follow some, you know, celebrity gossip kind of Weibo,
yeah, that's one of
Weibo and Weixin accounts.
Yeah, shared topics between us after the show.
Right. So his name starts popping up all over the place, and people are always using phrases like licking the screen, you know, that kind of thing.
How visual.
So I was wondering, so what's the deal with this guy? So apparently he has some interesting background stories as well. He is well in his 30s, I think, and he was in this business for a long time, but he never actually became that famous. So this is kind of like his do or die character. I don't know. So fortunately, it did bring him success. So based on that, I'm also very tempted to start watching.
Right. Oh, great! I'm happy that I've done one good deed of the day. That is get my good friend Liu Yan, you know, keeping up with the tide, man. You know,
yes.
Everybody else is doing this. You at least need to know what's going
right.
on.
Right, get
which
with
you
the
already
time.
Do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, I just want to make a point that I think another reason why this is getting a lot of people's attention, especially, you know, people of our age group, mm-hmm. so to speak, people in this, you know, studio, we're like young and active people. And is that, you know, with this group of actors who are in their early 30s, like, they're not so young and not so, like, beautiful looking as some of the younger, like, subtly famous celebrities anymore. And
like TF Boys.
Yeah, they're super young, right? And they're not starring in those stereotypical idol shows or like 偶像剧,
mm-hmm.
and that's known for pretty faces and
Mary Sue storylines.
Yeah, well, Liu Yan knows the deal, and also beautiful settings, but the acting is usually appalling, and the storyline is just. It's an insult to your brain. But those shows get a lot of views as well. And I can think of another show that starts with the name, the character Hua, three characters.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Hua Tiangu, right.
Oh no, you can't head out. You know, they have some really crazy fans. They're like young and reckless. We don't want to get those people angry. But yeah, they're those kind of shows.
No worries, I'm not judging. I'm just saying the name of that show.
Well, someone else might be judging here.
Yeah, and this... Our show airs to, like, so many places. Okay, I probably need to get a security guard to follow me home tonight. And, yes, there's that. And there's the super serious and traditional historic shows mm-hmm. that our moms and dads want to watch it. But this one, I think it's really interesting, is that it kind of fills the gap in between. That it's got the beautiful people, but with good acting and some serious production... bolstering the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of filling a void. And I think with all the success that this show has proven to have garnered, this is probably the future to go. What do you think? Should the Chinese TV production industry learn from this success of the show?
As in, should they learn to make, like, good TV shows instead of just making, you know, not good ones and just hoping to make a little money? Yeah, of course. I mean, again, what, like, all those great things you mentioned, they had pretty, well, I don't know, I haven't obviously read the book or even watched much of the show, but interesting source material. The story is, you know, it's a revenge story, not to give away the details, but this guy has this accident and comes back and, you know, there's these courts, orchestrations at the same time, so there's that. But they take that, well, they take the good actors, they do the good sets, the good scenes, and they, again, they're looking to do a good job with this thing. I think you can tell that. Whereas other ones, it's just, you know, like, okay, we'll just kind of do this and get this done. So, yeah. And the fact that they've seen such incredible success from this, that would probably be a good thing for other people to copy. Yeah, sure, it takes a lot of time. It's a big investment. But clearly there are rewards here to be reaped if you go that far and you do that well.
Yes, I also think this is a very good example for others to follow, because one of the most frequently heard things about this show is that, you know what, the female lead might as well not be there, and we wouldn't think, you know, it's a bad show, because this show is mostly focused on the male relationships, like the camaraderie between the two male characters.
Brotherhood!
Yeah, brotherhood, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, obviously, there's a market for that kind of storyline. It's not just guy loves girl, guy gets girl, that kind of silly, stupid, corny love storylines.
Ooh, Liu Yan, what are you implying here? Because I don't necessarily see, like, romantic relationships happening, but between guys. I don't see any of that at all.
Oh,
but...
I don't mean that. I just
okay.
mean purely brotherly, you know, supporting each other
okay.
kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. I'm a girl, but I'm totally drawn to that. And I think it's really a very interesting and great storyline that they've, well, the screenplay has put out there. And I think for this wide audience, as we've seen, it's not only you and me. There's also our moms and dads who are drawn to the TV to watch this show. It just manifests itself that you can't just focus on the relationships, and, you know, if there's, like, intricate plots and if there's, like, all kinds of emotion relationship going on in a show with serious production, you can get, like, a whole wide range of audience that would be interested. And I think that's probably one of the secrets to its success as well. And going back to the romantic relationship thing amongst certain characters in this show, I think a lot of Fujoshis, and I think I'm sort of one of them. Okay, I don't want to call myself a rotten girl because I'm not. But
maybe a little bit. Just a little.
Guys. So for its popularity you see online, I think it also unintentionally catered towards the taste of some of these people, and I'm just glad to say that it's done in a
very tasteful way.
In a tasteful way. So that's why I said it's unintentionally and unintentionally done. Because nowadays we see, especially at some promotional events, I think there's this deliberate attention.
It's going a little bit too far,
And then it is corny, it is appalling, and I think it's got really negative innuendos towards certain people in society that I think don't deserve this kind of attention. So, back to this show, I think, well done, these different aspects have all been taken carefully in a very tasteful way. So I'm glad to see that this is a huge success for them.
Because clearly, like you were saying, they went out and did a good job, and they didn't try and pander. Like, you can find those elements there, but it's not like, oh, we'll just do this fan service or whatever.
Yeah, and one last thing I want to say is that from the success of this show, as we've seen the painstakingly meticulous attention that's been put to details, and just so much heart been put in it, and with the success, I'm just really glad, because finally we see in society that there is proof for those people who are hardworking and put their heart to their craft, and
people will appreciate their stuff.
Appreciate the fruit of their labor.
Mm-hmm.
And that just makes me think of Roundtable. We are people like that, and good wine needs no bush. That's what I think.